This is KBOO Community Radio, and up next is the Good Vibes Only segment. On this episode, I'm speaking to Sarah of Weird Portland United, a nonprofit group whose mission statement is to gather the eccentric X-Men of the city in order to battle the forces of normal. Sarah is a volunteer board member, and this is our conversation.
How would you describe Weird Portland United for those that don't know what it is yet?
I can tell you what the mission is, because cool. that explains it really well.
Yeah.
Weird Portland United celebrates our community's unique, innovative culture, amplifies our creative expression, and incubates an even weirder future. So, we came up with that as sort of a smaller version of what we originally had. And it's basically a very inclusive community. We celebrate our weirdness. We want to help people who maybe are a little shy, but also have that interesting creative bent to them to come forward and feel safe, and we want to support them.
Yeah.
And we want Portland to always be that way.
Yeah.
We want our future to be weirder.
Yeah, it's funny because through watching different documentaries about people describing how Portland is different from the norm, here, the weirdos aren't ignored or outcasted or dismissed. Here, communities develop around them because it's something new and exciting and innovative, and people naturally want to be a part of that. And so I'm curious if how you found your way to Weird Portland United. It seems like you guys are such a tight-knit group. Were you already friends previous to the formation?
Okay. No, we weren't. No, it's very interesting. Some of them were. We're in existence because of the Unipiper, for sure. This was his brainchild, along with a man named Nicholas Beattie. Brian Kidd is the Unipiper, and then Nicholas is one of his friends. And they both felt very strongly that Portland is changing in a direction, but they don't want it to. They don't want to miss any future little Unipipers out there, you know?
We want to
be able to say that there's still a place for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I joined them. There was already, the majority of the people were already in place on the board.
And so it does seem like there was an intention to select people who were already trying to give back to the community and then joining forces to amplify the message of embracing your weird.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like we all come from different backgrounds, but that is definitely a theme that we have in common. And I think that people naturally sort of gravitate to it. I don't even know if they really picked everybody who had some kind of like community bent, but it just sort of naturally gravitated. Like I outlasted the woman who invited me to the board because I don't know. Yeah, it's just kind of, that's how it sort of shakes out. You just have that drive inside and you stick around. It's a lot of work. We do a lot of work. There's no staff. Everything is volunteer-based, and it's only just finished its first year, and that's usually the craziest time for a nonprofit.
I'm curious to hear what your specific role is. I know that, I heard that there's a lawyer in the group.
Right,
there's,
Aaron, I have this master's degree in nonprofit management, and I have used it to sort of do organizational development in nonprofits, and sometimes that's volunteer and sometimes that's contractual work. So I guess I would call my role in the group the one that sort of keeps us on track with things, like organizational wise. So I make sure that the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, and it's kind of boring and administrative, except for that I really like it for some reason. So we just finished a strategic planning session, and now we have our goals. You know, yeah. I'm a total nerd for that kind of stuff.
Can we hear about the goals?
Absolutely. Yeah, we do. Let's see. I wrote all this down because I knew you were going to be asking me. So, like I said, we just finished our first year, and we had to take a moment and sort of decompress and figure out what we did and what we want to do and how we feel. And we inducted some Weird Portlanders, our first generation to go into the Weird Portland Hall of Fame, which was created. So we did that, and we're going to continue to do that every year. So there's a lot of talent that has been through the years in Portland, and we would like to celebrate and preserve that and give them some honors. And we also had a huge gala that was our fundraising gala, and a lot of those people were there because we were honoring them at the gala. And that was so that we could make some revenue that we could turn into grants and then give away eventually to, Portland creatives who fulfill the spirit of weird.
Yeah. Do you worry that Portland has a limited supply of weirdos to highlight, or is it...
Oh, God, no. Do you think? No. I don't think that's possible anywhere. I think the weirdos are everywhere.
You think so?
And I've said this before, which is weird in a group of people, when you have, like, the Unipiper and you have Daria, they're performers, right? And I think it kind of dropped like a bomb. I was like, you know that it's great that you guys have this outward expression of weirdness, but the real weirdos in Portland are the ones that are like look normal, because there's something going on inside of them. If they're here and they look normal on the outside, you know that there's crazy going on the inside. And I feel like I'm one of those, because I'm not a performer, but I love the very wonderful and wild and unique and strange things.
So in addition to the gala, where everyone was promoted to dress up in costumes and come to this event where they could embrace their individuality, what are some other projects that are going to bring people together in celebration of their weird?
Sure. We have a regular gathering called Weird Portland Creatives, and then we have a calendar of those things. That's kind of like when people can stand up and talk about their passions and present stuff. So it's a little bit like, again, sort of like a TED Talk kind of thing, but specifically for weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned the grants. We're going to be doing a grant application and then a funding process where we give away the money that we raised from the gala so that we can help people, have that foundation that they need to continue on with whatever weirdness that they're doing.
Are you taking any cues from other organizations that are doing the same thing? Or for the most part, are you all setting the precedent for what promoting weird looks like in a city?
That's an interesting question. Partnerships are a high priority for Weird Portland United. So we are really interested in sort of like placemaking, like creating this place of weirdness for everybody. So that means that we already are working in partnership with, like, the Peculiarium. We're going to have our own exhibit at the Peculiarium, which is moving from its little location to a bigger location on the east side. So they're actually transplanting themselves from the west side to the east side, and we're very excited about that. We are also working with Awesome Portland. Do you know them?
Yes.
Yeah, so they give away grants as well. And I think our first grant will be in tandem with them. So they're going to give $1,000 and we'll give $1,000.
As far as I understand, they give away grants for entrepreneurial startups.
Yeah, I think they have different kinds of flavors each. I think it's like every 3 months or something like that. I'm not positive. This is something you should talk to Brian about, because
sure,
he's like fully into it.
Cool.
So our first set of that will be along with them. But yeah, we are fostering individual creatives. We are definitely partnering with other organizations and seeing what we can do together.
So are you finding parallels? Portland and Weird Portland United are doing the same things.
Yeah, we do. There's definitely overlap, for
mm-hmm.
sure. Yeah. I mean, that's another wonderful thing about living in Portland, don't you think, is that we do not rest. Like, there's always something to do, and there's always a cause to sort of get behind, and we really fit in any kind of action that you want to take, really. I love that about us.
Yeah, I want to explore that thought, because I agree. I do think that Portland is unique in a lot of ways. In what ways do you think Portland is different from other cities in the U.S.?
Let's see. Well, again, there's that encouragement factor, where I think that when I first moved here in 2003, I was really struck by how all the coffee shops that I went to had art in them, and some of that art was terrible. It was just awful. And it was like, I was not expecting that. Here these big, beautiful sort of like rooms that are in old buildings or decked out really nicely, and then the walls were filled with sometimes really strange, like crazy string art or something like that. And it wasn't until later when somebody said, yeah, we'll let anybody express themselves in any way in this town, and we wouldn't discourage that, whereas in another town it would be curated so much that you would never be able to let your niece like put her artwork on your coffee shop wall or something,
mm-hmm.
and then people would not appreciate it. It's really appreciated here, so we're not critical of stuff like that. We sort of expect it, and we and sometimes even the more unruly it is, even the better. And it's just this town, we're just not cynical. I mean, there is cynicism, but we're not a cynical place, I don't think. We're the opposite of that.
Open for people to pursue what they love doing, and whether or not they're the degree of talent behind it is secondary.
Sure, absolutely.
We just want to have a space where everyone can express themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is great. That is a great gift, because some of those people whose artwork I didn't appreciate, later on, you know, worked it out so that, and had that space to sort of express themselves in the beginning without being criticized, to go on to be amazing artists. I have a friend now whose work I saw for the first time at brunch in a local, like, breakfast place, and yeah, he was reclaiming things and making things out of reclaimed stuff, and now one of his clients is Adidas, you know, and that was years ago, like, he started, and you just get to see people sort of develop through things, and it's wonderful. So yeah, it's nice to be on the ground level of somebody's sort of burgeoning talent.
Do you think Portland is alone in trying to set the example of what embracing your weird looks like, or do you think that it's the spearhead of a movement in trying to lead other cities to do the same?
I know that there's a lot of really wonderful creative other cities out in the country, and they all have their own. The lucky thing about them is that I think they still are a little bit, like, their head's still down, and not a lot of people know about them. Like, locals are in the know. There's definitely artistic towns everywhere, I lived in Ohio for a little while. There's some really cool creative towns there as well. but I think we just happen to sometimes just be, because we're so bright and shiny, maybe the butt of the lampooning, mm-hmm. You know. So, yeah, I don't think Portlandia helped in any way.
Do you see Weird Portland United potentially opening up other chapters in
Absolutely.
Other cities?
Yeah, at the very least, I think we could be a model for other cities. Like, so we'd be absolutely over the moon to share, like, how we started and what we are doing, and how other places can certainly use that for their own communities. Absolutely, yeah. I'm totally into that. That's what I'm trying to do with this book, but it's for, you know, recycling buildings instead of a weirdness. But yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's a great idea.
Interesting. So it seems that your guiding principle is wanting to contribute to the public good, whether that's through Weird Portland United, whether writing your book. It seems like everyone on the board is of a like mind and wanting to create a space for creativity, for individuality, for protecting artistic mindsets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm super grateful to see that. I mentioned this after attending a board meeting. I saw that everyone was just so kind to each other, and I don't know if that's like common from what you've seen in your experience.
No, I have volunteered for well over 100, or worked in some way well over 100 nonprofits, mm-hmm. probably exclusively in Portland, and boards are like families. They have the same kind of dynamics. So some of them are dysfunctional and some of them are super cool. But I feel really good about Weird Portland United from just an organizational standpoint, because we have all the boxes checked and we have our feet on the ground. But we have a huge amount of creativity. So it's really the only thing that's holding us back is, resources.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that'll change.
So it seems like you've found a lot of people who fit within what you're looking for, which is someone who's going to contribute, someone who's going to play well with the team.
Mm-hmm.
Do you worry that as Weird Portland United grows, like, you risk introducing drama into the organization aspect of it?
Yeah, there's always that. I mean, we are working with humans.
Mm-hmm.
What I tell the group, from this perspective of being sort of professionally in nonprofits, is that the foundation is at the very beginning, it sets the tone for the rest of the organization, no matter what it is, no matter what it's doing. So if in the beginning you have fractiousness or fights and people are already doing some kind of power play, that foundation will somehow just last through the culture for the rest of its existence. But if you have a really solid like friendliness, like what you were experiencing when you were there, people who enjoy each other's company, people who communicate well, people who are really kind. We're really interested in talking about ideas. We're not interested in drama. That, like the next year for us is going to be building on that same foundation, and that's going to be the culture of Weird Portland United. Unless it's like some kind of corporate takeover that happens, yeah. Which is possible. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But really, it is very interesting the way that they nonprofits evolved. In the beginning personalities will just set the tone for the duration of its existence.
What advice do you have for people who are trying to start something similar, like trying to promote, I guess, the risk-taking mentality within a community?
Oh, that's a lovely question. Well, because my role in the organization is to keep things organized and administratively, you know, I'm like, make your working documents and create a... It's great to have like a club, but make sure it's well organized and you have a plan for the future and run it like a business, because it really kind of is a business. And then from there, it's just a springboard for all the ideas that you have and all the things that you want to do. So each community is different, and how to support the weirdness in each community would probably be different, you know? But generally, it's like what you bring to the world. It's enthusiasm and positivity and, you know, your love for things. So I think that works.
How can people find out more about Weird Portland United and how can they contribute?
Yeah, well, obviously the website is weirdportlandunited.org. And that's the best way to also to see what we're doing as far as events and things like that. And Weird Portland Creatives is a great way to go out and see people from your local community, maybe even your neighborhood, who are talking about their passions and what they do that's a little out there. And we have a newsletter, and Daria is actually going to be writing for our newsletter. So that's it. She tells the best stories. I don't know if you've ever heard Daria's stories, but they're pretty awesome. And... yeah, I think those are the two main ways that I could say right now.
Cool. Sure.
And obviously listening to KBOO,
mm-hmm.
So you guys support us, and that's great.
Yeah, I love the community building aspect of the organization, as well as recognizing people who've stood out in memorable and unexpected ways.
Yeah. I feel like everybody's comfortable, and that's good, you know. Be the weird you want to see in the world.
Be the weird. Yeah. And if you're having any reservations, Weird Portland United is there to back you up give you some amplification.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's great. We'll evolve eventually into weird weirdness counselors or something like that, pick up the phone.
Cool. Well, I wish the organization more momentum.
Oh, thank you.
I think it's spearheading a movement, and I hope to see something similar rise in different pockets of America.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much, Sarah, for coming in.
Oh, thank you so much, Dresden. You've been a delight to talk to. I appreciate it.
Cheers.
This is KBOO Community Radio, and up next is the Good Vibes Only segment. On this episode, I'm speaking to Aaron of Weird Portland United, a nonprofit group whose mission statement is to gather the eccentric X-Men of the city in order to battle the forces of normal. Aaron is a volunteer board member, and this is our conversation.
So the first question that I want to lead with is, what is Weird Portland United?
Well, because it was the brainchild of Brian Kidd, who is the Unipiper. Brian especially is very aware of is that he came to Portland at a moment where what he was doing was could take off like wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
And he's fairly confident that like in this environment now, it may not have been possible. And other examples of that were like the pods, the food carts that, you know, people would start a food cart. And so you're able to, with like low risk threshold, enter the market, try something new, and then, you know, test it out and then have success or not. So it's like Portland became this incubator of interesting things, and that's what became really cool. And that's what I think drew people here. It's like, look at all these people. They're doing such stuff that nobody else is doing, and it's because they could afford to. You could come here, and that's why, you know, when ultimately Portlandia came and said that it's the place where 20-somethings go to retire, it was kind of true, because you could come here and you could sort of half-heartedly work towards a job just to keep paying rent while you did your dream and tried your hand at it. in more expensive environments, that wasn't possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so the concern now is, like, as Brian and I both watched the changes happen, that that's not seeming to be the environment that we're in now. And so Weird Portland United is the front is to try to, through whatever means we can figure out how to do, and that's still kind of taking shape, is to try to help hold on to that core of experimentation and, like, living your dream.
And so what role do you specifically play in Weird Portland United?
So I was the one that helped Brian form the entity, not being a nonprofit attorney myself. I was, it was sort of like learning as we went along. And, you know, I looked at going out to other firms and maybe outsourcing it to some place, because we had a little bit of money from some donations. And it's surprisingly expensive to do something that's trying to be charitably based.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up doing it ourselves, which, for good or bad. So my role is kind of in-house counsel attorney, and I'm on the board. And I feel like oftentimes I'm the most square person in the room, even though I have sort of a weird history. But it's not nearly as... You know, I've kind of settled into the fact that I am a lawyer, and mm-hmm. this is kind of my job.
Yeah.
And now I'm the treasurer, which is
just keep getting promoted.
Just by default.
So. So I know you and Brian worked together before the formation of Weird Portland United. How did the rest of the WPU fellowship come together?
They're all people that came on through Brian. It's really Brian's sort of like... I think charisma or his drive towards this goal. And I mean, that's why I feel like I got to give him a lot of credit there, is just he had a vision, and he saddled up a bunch of people that were on his team. And the amount of dedication and effort I've seen from folks that, you know, are basically doing that out of the goodness of their hearts is pretty amazing.
Yeah. So would the team unanimously name Brian as the leader of the group?
Yeah, I think without Brian, there's you know, it wouldn't really have the traction it has.
What does Weird Portland United oppose in terms of, I know you're trying to fight gentrification. What aspects of gentrification are Weird Portland United trying to compensate for?
I think it's primarily, well, one, we're concerned, and I wouldn't say we're fighting gentrification. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of good that's come out of improving the facilities. There was a lot of decay in the city, and the fact that, you know, you could pay cheap rent to live in some flea infested like dive is like, you know, maybe there's trades offs there. So we're not, I wouldn't say that is our concern, is some of the side effects.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, to your question, it's the cost of living, is, I guess the main issue is something that would cause homogenization in a way that's like irreversible.
Mm-hmm.
And we're definitely seeing some of that. And so there are many factors at stake here. And one is, you know, the rents going up for residential and commercial increase you're hustling all day now to earn your rent instead of being able to work on your side project, or you can't get the capital necessary to go out and start your food project or whatever other interesting thing you're trying to do, because the overall cost is higher. And then, you know, there's kind of ripple effects. I'm no economist, but like, I've had clients of mine who were longstanding businesses, the bars and whatnot, that said the push on the minimum wage is actually making it like the margins are too thin, and they're getting out of the bar business and they've sold the bar.
Mm.
And they're concerned that, like, basically the only companies that can weather that sort of margin are going to be big chains, because they've got it dialed in. And, you know, the mom and pops need bigger margins in order to survive and weather the storms.
And that's the soul of Portland, isn't it? All of these local businesses giving the city its charm, because it isn't like other major cities that have been overrun with corporations.
Right, right. And that's, you know, that's a challenge. And that's well beyond my pay grade. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a huge economic issue. So I think what we're trying to do is, you know, maybe one step at a time, try to push something interesting out back into the ether of Portland and see if it can take root and keep things moving along.
How would you describe Portland's virtues that you didn't have available where you're originally from?
The the idea that you could have a unique experience at a place that only exists here, and is not something that is identical to the place that you would get in a strip mall or, you know, some cookie cutter thing that you see the same five restaurants all sandwiched together within proximity of each other by design. I grew up where I didn't know that there weren't such a thing as a chain. Like I just assumed everything was a chain. Like that's how you ate food. Like you went to a place that existed everywhere else and that's how it went. And coming here and realizing was like, oh, okay, there's an environment here where things can thrive on their own. And, you know, you can have these independent shops pop up and you can have a very different experience. Even though I'm having a hamburger a block away or Thai food that's right across the street from each other, like the experience is completely different.
Yeah.
The food's different. And so that's something I really enjoy. And now find that I kind of feel resistant to going into something where I'm like, oh, I can get that anywhere.
Mm-hmm. So you want to... There's way more of a local business scene here, and there's way more of a one of the facts I like to share is Portlanders are 50% more likely to start their own business.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah. And so I think it goes a long way in proving how there's something unique here where people are pursuing their call to adventure. And one of the things that I'm cluing in on with Weird Portland United is that they want to foster that. Like, hey, your call to adventure, it's unique to you. It's not what the social norm is, but here's an entire group of people who've dedicated themselves to advocating for you.
Interesting. Well, I guess that's a great fact to know about people starting their own business, because that's primarily my line of work is helping people start their business. Uh-huh. And so that's great. I guess I'm in the right market.
Is there anything I haven't asked about Weird Portland United that you'd like to talk about?
We have covered a lot.
Yeah, we did.
No, I guess not. I mean, I'm interested to see if we can figure out really what we can push on to make a difference. You know, it's one thing for us to throw money at, you know, help individuals do things, but like what we're trying to look at is some systemic shift or some way of keeping something alive in a way that actually is sustainable.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just kind of throwing money into the wind.
Right. Maybe one of the qualities, as you mentioned, investment, I think is probably going to be a recurring answer amongst a lot of the local Portland population for why the culture has changed. Do you think Weird Portland United would get involved in that kind of policy making, or is Weird Portland United exclusively for people who are... being eccentric?
Well, I think our mission is not so much to get into policy. I think that might be one of the requirements of, you know, I don't think we can get very political in sort of our mission. But I definitely think we can choose causes to get behind that we can support in a way that might have like longer lasting effects than just that those dollars were spent.
How can people find out more about Weird Portland United?
Google Weird Portland United. It's gonna like that's there's a lot on the website. Get on the news list for our newsletter, because there's a lot of announcements that come out with that. Mm-hmm. Follow Brian the Unipiper. He's gonna definitely let you know when things are happening with Weird Portland United. Mm-hmm. If you're going to cool events, usually some fun events, there's probably gonna be some sort of Weird Portland United presence there. So that's a great way to kind of track it down.
Cool. So search them on the Google and go to cool events, and Weird Portland United can't be avoided.
There you go.
Sweet, man. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.